talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue lie.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. The biggest story right now and all day today, Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Kenosha, Wisconsin, what, 25, 30 miles south of where I'm sitting right now. A lot going on. The jury got the case yesterday. They spent the day deliberating. They told the judge around 5:45, roughly, that they want to go home for the evening, come back today, and they'll deliberate today. The jury is not sequestered. What does that mean? In the old days, not just in homicide trials, but in felony trials in general, the jury was sequestered. In other words, this is pre-social media, before cell phones, before computers. I had a case back in the early 1980s. It was a felony. It was a case involving people going onto Lake Michigan in the middle of the winter and taking large amounts of trout and salmon. Federal, it's against the law. You might think of that as something not all that consequential, and it certainly isn't compared to homicide, but the jury was sequestered, put up in a hotel, couldn't contact anybody, could only talk among themselves for the day or two that it took for them to get a verdict. Now, sequestration in the case of a minor felony seems like a waste of time, but sequestration in a homicide case like the Kyle Rittenhouse case, my own view is that they should have been sequestered. They're simply told, don't talk to anybody about it. Don't talk to anybody about it. Well, they're going to go home, and the good ones will say, I can't talk about it. But are you telling me that a spouse or somebody isn't going to slip them some piece of information that they saw on television out of the presence of the jury? Doesn't matter. The evidence is the evidence. The instructions are the instructions. But they're not sequestered, and they're going to come back today and start deliberating again at 9 a.m. Now, there are 18 jurors. Now, you know that there are really only 12 jurors in our system that sit on a case. For instance, nowadays, many jurisdictions only use 6 jurors for civil cases. 6 jurors. But 12 is the norm for criminal cases. Why did they have 18? They had 18 because people can get sick. Something can happen. They had 20. There were 2 other jurors that were dismissed, one for telling a bad joke that seemed to prejudge the case. And I forget why the other one was let go. But people can put in requests to be let go because of duress, family issues, illness, whatever. So you have 18 left that spent weeks listening to the evidence, and you had to get it down to 12. And the way you do it, you have a drum with numbers in it, and somebody reaches into the drum, they can't see the numbers. Each of the jurors have a number. I've been called the jury service a number of times. I've never been picked for the jury. Nobody wants a lawyer on the jury, but I'll be given a number, like I'm juror number 27 or 35 or something like that. In this case, the judge has to decide who picks the 6. Normally, either the judge or his clerk picks the 6. In other words, the judge will hand the drum to his clerk and she'll reach in, pick out 6 numbers. And they're random and everybody's fine with that. Or the judge can do it. This judge has a peculiar custom that I have never seen of any other judge. He has the defendant do it. Now, it's sort of like inviting the defendant to pick his own executioners. Here, why don't you sharpen the sword? That, I'm speaking figuratively. There is no death penalty in Wisconsin. We abolished it in the 1850s because some guy got hanged, and it was a fairly gruesome scene because when you get hanged, you don't die right away, and he was writhing around, and people got disgusted. They said, we don't want the death penalty. We don't want the death penalty. And I'm glad we haven't had the death penalty since the 1850s. And many of these charges, while they're felonies, would not get the any ultimate sanction. The ultimate sanction in Wisconsin is life in prison. And I think there's, let's see, one, I have them here, we're going to read them, that really would yield that. However, the idea of having the defendant do it has mixed feelings, or produces mixed feelings among experienced criminal lawyers. Some will say, well, it's random. You know, Rittenhouse reached in, he couldn't see which six they were. That's true. And he can't really complain on appeal when he's convicted, if he's convicted, by saying somebody picked, somebody cooked it up. So yeah, there's that benefit. On the other hand, it's a little unseemly to me anyway. I wouldn't do it. If I were a judge, I would hand the drum to my clerk. So you just pick six at random, and nobody's reasonably going to object to that or oppose it, and no appellate court would care about it one way or the other. That's the way it's normally done. So what charges is he finally facing, Rittenhouse? The first charge is first degree reckless homicide in the death of Rosenbaum. That's not first degree intentional homicide. First degree intentional homicide is first degree murder. You know, in the vernacular, in the common mind, you've heard things like murder one, first degree murder, second degree murder, murder two. That's all stuff off of TV. Now they've changed the names to something much more clinical, but they have the same punishment. So first degree reckless homicide is not first degree murder, but it's a serious felony. You mean you killed somebody acting recklessly? I don't want to get into the weeds on this, but there is a concept in law called scienter, S-C-I-E-N-T-E-R. It's a Latin word, really meaning a level of intent. Now, you can intend to kill somebody if you lie in wait outside his door. When he comes out, you plunge a knife into him. That's real scienter. That's real intent. But you can have scienter in the old second degree murder if you do something you know is going to kill somebody and you do it anyway. Like you drive into a crowd up on the sidewalk, like Islamic terrorists have done in France. Actually, they did it at Ohio State, by the way, in this country, and they've done it elsewhere. And you don't know the individuals. You didn't set out that morning to kill that particular person. But you know if you drive a truck up onto a sidewalk in Nice, you're going to kill people. And that it could be first degree, but it's more likely second degree intentional homicide. With Rosenbaum, for whatever reason, he killed Rosenbaum. It was first degree reckless homicide. The next charge is first degree recklessly endangering safety. And the third is the same thing. Why are they different? Because they're the same words. They're different because recklessly endangering safety is pointing a gun at people. Remember McCloskey's down in Missouri, the lawyer and his wife who pointed guns at Black Lives Matter protesters peacefully marching along the sidewalk outside their home? And they were originally charged with felonies, then because it's Missouri, down to misdemeanor, and then because it's Missouri, just a parking ticket, so to speak, you know, a pink ticket. And they came up here grinning and sniffing. Who the hell are they? Get back to St. Louis. We do not want you and your kind. But recklessly endangering safety. If you have a gun, you just can't point it at somebody. You're recklessly endangering safety. And the fact that they have two counts means to me that Rittenhouse went around sticking his gun at people. And that is why, incidentally, the word got out that there was an active shooter, why people went after him to take his weapon away because they didn't want him to kill anybody. Two of them were unarmed. The one that was armed didn't use it on him. But if you see a shooter, an active shooter, what are you going to do? Well, I would take away his weapon at least. So that's two and three. Four for Huber, first degree intentional homicide or second degree intentional homicide in the alternative or first degree reckless homicide. He just gunned Huber down, just shot him. That is first degree murder, murder one, first degree intentional homicide. But they're covering their bases, the prosecution. The governor, the judge gave him a very good instruction permitting this. And the alternative, you can find second degree. Sort of like the guy that drives up on the sidewalk, doesn't know who he's killing, but he kills him anyway. Here, you shoot at a guy, you may not have known his name that morning, but you knew he was going to kill him. Or at least first degree reckless. Then with Grosskreutz, Grosskreutz, it's attempted first degree intentional homicide. He guns him down with a semi-automatic, blew out his hip. And then in the alternative attempted second degree or in the alternative recklessly endangering safety. Duh. You blow a guy's hip off, you have 30 rounds in this thing. And that they're saying, you know, the third choice is you pointed the gun at him. They've covered the landscape very well, the prosecution. The judge, for all of the criticism, I've heard people call in and go, Matt, the judge wants to adopt Kyle Rittenhouse. He loves him so much. Well, this is a crusty old guy. I know of him, never appeared in front of him. You know, he said some things that I wouldn't say. But having said that, he gave two absolutely vital instructions that benefited the prosecution. One, permitting lesser included offenses so they didn't have to prove first degree murder on Huber and on Rosenbaum. And then secondly, the provocation defense. You know, guy goes down the street with a semi-automatic and points it in people's faces. People can reasonably think that he's an active shooter and try to disarm him. And he can't then go, oh, self-defense. The jury sent in a note asking for the first six pages of the instructions. There were 36 pages. The first six have to do with self-defense. So obviously there was some juror on there who was going, oh, I don't know about self-defense. I don't know about self-defense. Then shortly after that, they asked for all the rest of the instructions, 7 to 36, pages 7 to 36. So all 36 pages have gone to the jury, which is customary if they ask for it. And the jury has read them and has them there to deliberate. So what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. This thing could go on at least all day today and into tomorrow. There are some things that do occur to me. It was very risky for the defense to put Rittenhouse on. He's a wannabe. He's a moon-faced wannabe. And that crying jag was so insincere. And the prosecutor used it against him. And he said, you know, Rittenhouse was crying for himself, not for the people he shot. In general, I very, very much counsel defense counsel not to put defendants on the stand. Juries can sniff out a liar. But then I may be proven wrong if he's acquitted. I do not know. This could go on. There could be a hung jury. I hope it's not. We'll give them the Allen charge, the dynamite charge, trying to make them to come to a decision. A lot of interesting stuff going on. Stand by. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.